Horst had made Jay wear a pair of trousers instead of her usual shorts. A thick layer of mist started to lift from the waving stalks and blades. Now the sun was rising higher into the sky. Haze broke the visibility down to less than a kilometre. "This humidity is worse than the julep back in Durringham," Jay exclaimed, waving her hand frantically in front of her face. "Cheer up," Horst said. "It might rain later." "No, it won't." He glanced round to where she was walking in the track he was making through the stiff grass. Bright eyes gleamed mischievously at him from below the brim of her tatty felt sun hat. "How do you know?" he asked. "It always rains on La Londe." "No, it doesn't. Not any more, not during the day." "What do you mean?" "Haven't you noticed? It only ever rains at night now." Horst gave her a perplexed stare. He was about to tell her not to be silly, but then he couldn't remember the last time he'd rushed indoors to shelter from one of Lalonde's ferocious downpours. A week? 10 days? He had an uncomfortable feeling it might even have been longer. "No, I hadn't noticed," he said temperately. "That's all right. You've had a lot on your mind lately." "I certainly have." But the chirpy mood was broken now. "I should have noticed," he told himself. "But then who regards the weather as something suspicious? He was sure it was important, though. He just couldn't think how or why. Surely they couldn't change the weather." Horst made it a rule that he was never away for more than 4 hours. That put 7 other homestead cabins within reach, 8, counting the ruins of the Skibbo building, as well as allowing enough time to shoot a danderill or some venals. Once he had shot a pig that had run wild, and they'd eaten ham and bacon for the rest of the week. It was the most delicious meal he'd ever tasted. Terrestrial beasts were pure ambrosia compared to the coarse and bland aboriginal animals. There was hardly anything of value left in the cabins now. He had stripped them pretty thoroughly. After another couple of visits, there would be little point in returning. He caught himself before brooding turned to melancholia. He wouldn't need to go back. The Navy would come, and don't ever think anything different. Jay bounded up to walk beside him, adjusting her stride to match his. She gave him a sideways smile, then returned her gaze to the front, perfectly content. Horst felt his own tension seeping away. Having her so close was like the time right after that dreadful night. She had screamed and fought him as he pulled her away from Ruth and Jackson Gale. He had forced her through the village towards the jungle, only once looking back. He saw it all then, in the light of the fire which pillaged their sturdy, tranquil village, snuffing out their ambitions of a fair future as swiftly as rain dissolved the mud castles the children built on the riverbank. Satan's army was upon them. More figures were marching out of the dark shadows into the orange light of the flames, creatures that even Dante in his most lucid fever dreams had never conceived, and the screams of the ensnared villagers rose in a crescendo. Horst had never let Jay look back, not even after they reached the trees. He knew then that waiting for the hunting party to return was utter folly. Laser rifles could not harm the demon legions Lucifer in his wrath had loosed upon the land. They had carried on far into the jungle until a numbed, petrified Jay had finally collapsed. Dawn found them huddled together in the roots of a qualtuk tree, soaked and shivering from a downpour in the night. When they eased their way cautiously back towards Aberdale and hid themselves in the vines ringing the clearing, they saw a village living a dream. Several buildings were razed to the ground. People walked by without paying them a glance. People Horst knew, his flock, who should have been overwrought by the damage. That was when he knew Satan had won. His demons had possessed the villagers. What he had seen at the Ivet ceremony had been repeated here again and again. "Where's Mummy?" Jay asked miserably. "I have no idea," he said truthfully. There were fewer people than there should have been, maybe 70 or 80 out of the population of 500. They acted as though devoid of purpose, walking slowly, looking round in befogged surprise, saying nothing. The children were the exception. They ran around between the somnolent shuffling adults, crying and shouting, but they were ignored or sometimes cuffed for their trouble. Horst could hear their distraught voices from his sanctuary, deepening his own torment. He watched as a girl, Shona, trailed after her mother, pleading for her to say something. She tugged insistently at the trousers, trying to get her to stop. For a moment it looked like she had succeeded. Her mother turned round. "Mummy!" Shona squealed. but the woman raised a hand and a blast of white fire streamed from her fingers to smite the girl full in the face.